Planarprod presents The Attic Monologues. Episode 25. Welcome to Trinovantum.
I was there when the city fell. It started with the little things. Thunder through a clear, over-blue sky. The ground, uneven in places, swollen and rippling like a waterlogged book. The smallest fissures in newly cobbled roads. A scent like burning, like blood in the back of your throat. An uncertainty to everything. Everyone noticed it, but everyone was too busy with other things to care. Everyone was just trying to make it to the next hour, the next day. Our worlds had to get small to survive. And still, the edges of the city continued to grow. Continued to pull with nothing to fill the gaps. And the world tore in two. You should have seen it. It was sublime. All that destruction. The sky bruised, more smoke than air. Fires burning, everyone screaming, and yet no one was leaving. We all knew what had happened, or could guess. We knew that London was to blame. We had no idea what had happened outside the doors, but we knew we would not be safe anywhere. Our people have learnt to be afraid of the Selena and their world, with good reason. When you live long enough, you watch history repeat itself 1,000 times. Humanity has such a short memory. All those stories you tell yourselves, and yet you learn nothing. Do you want me to tell you which part of the story we've returned to? I don't think you'd like the answer.
I thought you were joking.
Why?
I don't know, just it seems a bit underwhelming? Ridiculous? I don't know.
What's ridiculous?
It's a portal to another world, Ambrose. Why is it in the bathroom mirror?
Seemed like the best place to put it at the time. Before I rebuilt this place, it was in the staff room. There's only so many people you can let through before normal people start asking questions.
Right. Why did you have to rebuild?
There was a fire.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Ready? Me? Yeah, of course. Who's nervous? I'm not nervous.
I never said you were nervous.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, no, that's why I said, you know, I'm not nervous. But I could understand if someone was.
You survived going to the library, didn't you?
Well, yeah. But that was like an actual door into a library, which is a perfectly normal place to go, even if it is in an infinite void dimension or whatever. This is a mirror in a bathroom in a cafe to an ancient, broken, magical city. Also, Athru pushed me in. I didn't have time to panic.
I could push you. If you'd like.
Thanks, but... No. I can do this.
If you feel...
No, all good. Just... Holy...
Yeah.
Indigo wasn't kidding. This is insane. The sky, the air, the colour. It's like... brighter. Shinier. Kind of makes my eyes hurt, to be honest.
That would be the magic. Your eyes adjust.
Whoa. This place is way more destroyed than I expected. Like, these cracks in the pavement, I don't think Indigo mentioned those.
Those are fairly new.
What, did you guys run out of city maintenance budget?
Not exactly. It's more like the city is...
Dying?
I wouldn't go that far... yet. It's been fracturing into smaller and smaller pieces for 1,000 years. This shard, where the market is, has only existed this way for a few hundred, and now it's breaking. Within another few decades, this will be 100 individual shards the size of houses. In another few, there'll be 1,000 pieces the size of a small bedroom. Smaller and smaller, until there's nothing left.
What happens if you walk off the edge?
Do you want the nice answer, or the answer that will keep you up at night?
Just rip off the bandage, Ambrose. Nothing you can say will freak me out anymore.
The fragments all end in sheer drops into the void of the universe. No one knows what happens if you fall in. Most likely your essence is shredded and dispersed across many universes. Most likely it's worse than death, and twice as painful.
You and Athru must be such fun at parties. I'm not surprised people are leaving. Even without this place looking like a set from Maze Runner or something. Isn't there any way to fix it? To put the pieces back together, or at least stop them from falling apart more?
People who have been trying for 1,000 years with no luck. The Corvidae are attempting a new method, but I don't think it'll come to much.
Okay, please tell me, what is the Corvidae? I keep hearing that word and it's driving me insane.
They're the Council. They're like the government for Trinovantum. Just like the Solana government. Just as useless.
I'm sorry, the what government?
Oh, the... your government. You know. Non-magical.
More terminology. Really?
Athru definitely should have explained this to you. But I'm not entirely surprised they didn't. They don't really have these terms in the library anyway. Selena is what we call people outside the city. People without any magic or magical history. Somogora is what we call ourselves. Literally, it means gifted.
Huh. Somogora. It doesn't feel like much of a gift, Ambrose. Fear and pain and a story I didn't ask for. A city that's literally decaying into the void. How do you deal with that? Knowing that the world will fall apart so soon.
Everything ends.
Ambrose, I don't want this to sound rude, but like... how do you... not give a shit?
Who says I don't?
I don't just mean the city, I mean everything. The whole thing with Agatha, me, the narrative, Bella. None of it seems to mean anything to you. Or at least it doesn't seem to faze you.
I don't think anything can anymore. Nix, when you've seen enough stories, their plot twists don't tend to affect you as much as they should. I've seen a few narratives start. I've seen them destroy the people involved. All you can do is ride it to the final page and hope you were meant to survive.
Is that what you did?
What do you mean?
Athrie told me that you were a protagonist.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I made them tell me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It happened years ago.
I mean, clearly it does matter. Everyone keeps telling me to talk to you, to ask you what I'm supposed to do, and I can't do that if you don't tell me. Because right now, all I'm getting here is that 10 years down the line, I'm going to be depressed and terrified, which is less than helpful.
I wish I'd known any of this when mine started, Nix. You are so lucky. You know what's happening. That is the most useful piece of advice I can give you. We can't change the narrative. Every choice we make just reinforces the end. We make peace with that. We accept our roles, and yes, maybe I'm still depressed, but I had depression long before the author tugged at my strings. That doesn't change. And I'm not terrified. I'm just sad. Because I have to watch you fall apart just like I did. Because I thought my story was over. And I'm dragged into it all over again. But I'm not going anywhere. I owe you that.
Ambrose, that's so depressing. I thought you were the sunshine one. Now it turns out that all adults are just like this.
The sun doesn't rise because it chooses to, it just has to.
Have you considered therapy?
Oh, I used to be a lot more like you, you know, before.
Maybe that's why you're so good to talk to. When you're not, you know, gaslighting me and my best friend, or whatever.
Nix.
Please don't apologise again. I can't take any more apologies. And besides, I didn't even know you that well, really. All the conversations were about me. So just, like, tell me everything now when I ask. Or when I need to know. Be my Obi-Wan.
That is my job here.
So there are other jobs? Like, narratively? Me and Bella were talking about it and, like, it makes sense, right? It's not just me. The author talked about a load of other roles.
Yes, there are others. Some are common, some rarer.
Do I get a comedic relief sidekick?
Are you not the comedic relief sidekick?
Aw, Ambrose, you think I'm funny? You're too nice. So, you're my mentor. That's obvious. Who else? Athrie? They're kind of like your partner in crime.
Athrie thinks they're probably the sage. We're both guides for you, but in different ways. They have the knowledge, I have the experience.
Right, that makes sense. Cool. What other archetypes are there? How many people do I even know? I mean, there's Lola and Seth, but I don't want them anywhere near this if I can help it. They don't deserve to be dragged into more of my mess. And then there's whoever my antagonist is, I guess. Is that the author, or is there someone worse and they're just incidental? Could the author of the narrative even be the villain? Aren't they supposed to be outside it? Is it fair if they're the one pulling the strings? And then there's Bella. Bella.
It might not be that helpful to assign the people in your life roles. You might get it wrong. They might grow into something else.
Ambrose, do I have free will?
That's a loaded question.
No, I really don't think it is. It's actually a very simple question. Do I have free will?
That's complicated. What do you mean by free will?
Like, does the author write what I do, or do I do what the author writes? Which comes first? Who's actually in control?
Nix, I don't know.
Some mentor you are.
Usually, the narrative isn't this obvious, and the protagonist has no idea they're being written. No one's really had to think about it properly. The author's never been involved like this. Even people who've studied the narrative for years would be hard-pressed to tell you for certain. What I do know is that things are drawn to you. People and events and objects alike. It could be the author forcing your past across. Or it could be you.
Me? I'm not doing anything.
No, but there's power in being the protagonist. Already you have the power of a storyteller, bringing the monologues to life. And you can't deny that you felt drawn to certain people, certain actions.
Like you, and Athrie, and Raven. Like deciding to read the monologues, even when the author told me not to.
We felt drawn to you too. It's how Athrie and I guessed what was happening.
So I'm a magnet. A danger magnet.
If you like. I think you can expect more people to seek you out, whether for good or for ill.
Yay me. Well, at least you're slightly more optimistic than Athrie. They were all, trust no one. Everyone's out to get you. You're going to die.
This is why I'm the sunshine one.
My kingdom for it. Everything's going to be fine, Nix. You're doing great, Nix.
Everything's going to be fine, Nix. You're doing great, Nix.
Loving the enthusiasm.
Nix, when you get home, I want you to try something.
Ominous?
I want you to think about something. A theme, a subject, a question, a... a vibe? Think about it, and then pick out a monologue to read.
Why? What's that gonna do?
Call it a test of your danger magnet. If I'm right, the knowledge you need should come to you.
Isn't that, like, narratively unsatisfying? Where's the drama? The danger? The tension? If I could just find out stuff whenever I want to?
That's why I said need.
So, again, where's my control in all this?
Need is a subjective word. The longer you occupy your role, the better you'll be able to change things, in theory.
In theory?
I understand this about as much as you do.
Somehow I highly doubt that. But fine, I'll give it a go. You'll pay for my therapy bill when I get traumatised.
I thought we'd established I'm basically your therapist.
I feel like you might have a conflict of interest, maybe. Just, you know, with all the danger magnetism and the fatal wounds of betrayal. But, thank you. I mean it. For trying. Anyway, aren't you supposed to be showing me the city? We've been standing in the doorway for like 15 minutes. Show me something cool?
Welcome to the World of Wonders, where we provide exactly what it says on the sign. What can I get you today?
Hey, Valentine.
Ambrose! Sorry, it's been a long day. I hear that bell and my mouth just starts talking. I've been in customer service too long.
Give it another few years. Maybe the magic will find you.
Oh, God, I hope not. I'm afraid I haven't managed to restock any of your usual orders.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not here for that. I'm just showing Nix around.
A new face? Don't get many of those these days. Wandered in off the streets?
Yeah, something like that. Nix, this is Valentine, finder and fixer of lost and magical things.
Ambrose, my guy, you've got to stop adopting strays. You'll run out of beds and hands to hold.
It's literally my job, Valentine.
Sure, but you can just occasionally, get this, take a break.
I don't think he knows how.
You're definitely right about that. I don't think I've ever seen him take a holiday. As soon as you live and work in the same place, it's over for the work-life balance.
Save money on the commute, though.
True.
I am still here.
It's just nice to meet someone who agrees you're a workaholic. Talking to Athri is like talking to a brick wall. You're both as bad as each other. You enable each other. It's nauseating.
But magical.
Personally, I think I prefer a life of mundanity to a magical ability to make coffee or shelve books.
And that's why it isn't your magic.
Speaking of magic, Valentine, Ambrose said you sell, like, magical objects. Trinkets. MacGuffins.
That is my speciality, yes. A lot of seemingly random things pass through this shop. I fix them and find out what they do.
So everything here is magic, like magic. Because like Lola bought me some crystals once for stress relief, and you won't know this about me, but I'm a very stressful person in every sense of the word, so I don't think they worked. What about this? Is this a radio? A magical radio? Or is it just like vintage? Which is its own magic and all, don't get me wrong, but like, what's the magic? What's the vibe?
I call this the Fate Radio. Supposedly, it picks up the current voices of people you're fated to meet sometime in the near future. You can tune it. See? To individual voices.
That's so neat! Can I...
Go ahead.
I'm looking for my wife.
Be not afraid.
I don't remember. I was nowhere.
He kept asking me to show him the trick.
He was missing. Lording,
not dead. I know, but I was missing too. And we were in the same
crushed
bone. But I got free, so she must be free too. Because, no, I haven't seen her, but I know where she was. No, I can't tell you. You wouldn't believe me. Please, just listen to me. I have posters I can pay. Her name is Zelda Green.
That was weird. I want it. Ambrose, can I buy it?
I'm not your dad. Go ham. It's your money. Who knows, it might be useful for the next time someone tries to punch you in the face.
I really do not want to know the context for that, do I?
Way to kill the mood, Ambrose. I just want a cool, magical gizmo, and you make it weird. How much is this?
Oh, just your firstborn child. Or the color of your hair. Or all your memories of snow. I'm joking. That thing's been sitting around for like years. Let's say 20 quid.
I can't lie, I'm a bit underwhelmed that you take pounds here. Can't I give you the color of my hair instead? It would make dyeing it so much easier. Ugh. Fine. Take all the magic out of it.
Welcome to Trinovantum, kid. I hope you survive your stay.
Did you just say survive?
Aren't we all just trying to?
Is everyone always this cheery?
Thank you, Valentine. See you next week.
Good luck, kid.
Thank you so much for listening to the Attic Monologues. If you're enjoying our show, please consider supporting us through our Patreon or Ko-fi to help us compensate the hard work our team puts into every episode. You can find the links in the show notes below. Alternately, you can leave us a review, whisper to the wind, or tell enemies and love interests and friends alike to listen. This episode was written by Morgan Greensmith and produced by Morgan Greensmith, LM Clohessy, and Soren Briarwood. It was directed and script edited by LM Clohessy. The sound design is by Isaac Thompson, and the theme tune was composed by Wilkie Morrison. In this episode, you heard the voices of
Atlas Morgan as Nix Ryland, Joseph Leyland as Ambrose Trelaw.
Max Hertzfeld as Valentine.
Zara Rajab.
Andrew Gorman.
Fraser Kelly.
And Morgan Greensmith as Radio Voices.
Alistair Stewart as the author.
The logo was designed by Soren Briarwood. The social media is also run by Soren Briarwood. You can find us on Twitter at Attic Monologues and on Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook and TikTok at The Attic Monologues. For more information on our show, our crew, our policies and other shows made by our people, visit our website www.planarprod.com. Episode 26, Freedom, will be out on Wednesday, November 8th. See you then!
Come away.
Come away, O human child, said the voice.
Doesn't it hurt to watch
the Don't you see how pointless
burn?
It all is?
Don't your hands ache from the matches?
Don't you see the
concrete
walls erected?
Imagine cool
between
wind.
Humanity and
Imagine
natural decay.
Soil to soothe.
Look
scars.
At the plastic and ozone
Imagine
and polar bears.
Something more you've
Look
always
at the turn of the century
right
hurtling towards you.
You can give all of
and
yourself
no hope
to something
on the other
of
side.
Meaning. You can live forever. You can
Come
be free.
Away, O human
Come
child,
away,
said
human
the voice.
Child, said the voice.
But she had been taken from too many times.
And she was so glad to put her arm
She did
down.
Not trust that things could be easy.
Today's episode features a trailer for Legend of the Bones, a dark fantasy actual play podcast. With spooky vibes and incredibly immersive world, we know fans of the Attic Monologues will love this show. So without further ado, Legend of the Bones.
Do you like your tabletop RPGs to be grim, gritty, and grounded? If so, then Legend of the Bones is the podcast for you. A hybrid of dark fantasy audio drama and old school solo D&D. In Legend of the Bones, the dice rule. There'll be no rerolls, no fudging the dice, no metacurrency. The roll of the bones will determine the character's destiny, and no one will be spared their fate. None shall escape the destiny of bone.